Good morning, my CLC family. It is so wonderful, as always, to be with you this Friday morning. Before we get started, I have a few announcements for you, especially if you live in the San Diego area. Okay. So, starting off, we have Tim Schulte from the Lutheran Bible Translators in town from St. Louis. He is here with his wife, and he will be preaching in San Marcos this Sunday. So if you can't make it to hear him on Sunday, good news, he'll be leading the Bible study at our 50 plus luncheon next Thursday, March 14th at 11 a.m. So you've got San Marcos at 9:30 this Sunday or the Bible study next Thursday. But catch him because he's got some great things to tell us about what they're doing in Bible translation. And then we'll be having our second week of our First Communion classes during the Bible study hour at both campuses this Sunday. Actually, I take that back. I think it might be the third week. But if you're a fifth grader or older and have not yet received instruction on what we believe about the sacrament of Holy Communion and would like to receive communion with us on Sundays, this class is for you. There are only the three classes, and then those who attend will receive their first communion at our service on Monday, Thursday. So yeah, it's got to be our second, because Monday, Thursday isn't for another. We got another week in there, and Monday, Thursday is the Thursday before Easter, which you know this year is Monday, Thursday is March 28th, because Easter is the 31st, last day of the month. Okay, what else? Our Easter egg hunt is Saturday, March 23rd at our Escondido campus this year. Please bring all candy donations to the church office by by Sunday the 17th. That's a week from this Sunday. And chat with Rachel about volunteering at this event. It should be super fun. And you can check out the website for more details about that. And then I just wanted to remind everybody that this weekend is daylight savings. So if you don't want to be late for church this Sunday, make sure you turn your clocks ahead 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Okay? All right. Let's pray and we'll get into our devotion. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity. To be in your word. We thank you for technology that allows us all to be together around your word. And Lord, we just ask that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our minds and our hearts this morning to what you have to teach us, Lord, in this tough book, Ecclesiastes. Help us to see what we as your children need to understand about this passage. In your son Jesus's name we pray, amen. All right, so we're gonna learn today what Solomon says about wisdom regarding human authorities. Okay, so go ahead, we're now in chapter 8. We're just moving along in this book. Open up your Bibles to chapter 8. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 9, and I will read and you can follow along. All right. Who is like the wise, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. I say, keep the king's command because of God's oath to him. Be not hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand in an evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme, and who may say to him, "What are you doing?" Whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. For there is a time and a way for everything, although man's trouble lies heavy on him. For he does not know what is to be, for who can tell him how it will be? No man has power to retain the spirit, or power over the day of death. There is no discharge from war, nor will wickedness deliver those who are given to it. All this I observed while applying my heart to all that is done under the sun, when man had power over man to his hurt. So, does anybody else find this interesting that this passage comes to us this week after a Super Tuesday where the first American president to ever be indicted has arguably won the Republican nomination, and where the president of the Union address, State of the Union address, was given by the oldest sitting president in U.S. history? Don't worry, this is not going to be a political talk per se, but I wonder, you know, if we could hear both of these men's interpretation of this passage before we decide for whom to vote in the election this coming year. Well, since it's not likely for them to share their opinion of this passage, let's discuss how we as Christians should view it. The last part of verse 1 seems to infer that it is possible to attain some level of wisdom under the sun. And it is advantageous to do so because it could make a man, let's say, happier, right? The verse there says, the end of the verse, a man's wisdom makes his face shine and the hardness of his face is changed. You may recall that a shining face is referred to in our benediction that our pastors give us at the end of our worship services, right? The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Having wisdom, knowing all, can give us some sense of peace, right? A hard heart or a stern face, as is used in some of the translations, can be changed, right? Can become happy or light, or and our omniscient or all-knowing God is the perfect example, right, of a wise man. And while he has every right to have a hardness of face or a stern face, when he gazes upon sinful man, it is in him, though, that we find mercy for the sake of Jesus. So verse 2 might remind you of Romans 13, where Paul tells us to let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. That's the first verse of chapter 13 of Romans. Now, since the king in this instance is God's agent, so to speak, we are to obey him as part of our obedience to God himself. Okay. However, it may sound a little self-serving coming from Solomon, as he's a king himself, right? Yet Solomon the preacher goes on to say in verses 3-4, "Be not hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand in an evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme, and who may say to him, 'What are you doing?'" Okay. So, in other words, he's the man, right? The king. He can do whatever he wants, and often does. Fortunately, in our government, you know, there are levels of government, right, to kind of have checks and balances. But it certainly wouldn't be wise to abandon one's place before the king, right? To go hasty from his presence, and therefore lose one's influence in his court. Nor is it wise to, if you remember from the Book of Esther, you can't go into or out of the king's presence without his permission. So there's that side of it too. He's a supreme ruler. So, nor is it wise to go against a ruler, as they are autocratic. They simply can't be corrected per se, right? They get to decide, regardless of kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Regardless of what kind of direction that they're given by others. This kind of made me think of the Queen of Hearts and Alice in Wonderland. I don't have little kids anymore, but gosh, I watched those movies so many hundreds of times, like you all who have little kids do. Remember her famous line, "Off with their heads," just because she could, not because there was any good reason, not because her subjects really did anything wrong, just because she felt like it. But what about our great King Jesus? While I don't think Solomon is necessarily referring to him in these verses, I do think it interesting to reflect on how these verses might refer to him. It certainly wouldn't be wise to go from his presence. As we know, he is the way, the truth, and the life. If we want to have any semblance of a wise life in this world, we need to stay in God. We need to be in his will and follow his direction for our life. Taking your stand in an evil cause, rejecting him and living your life of sin, is rejecting the atoning sacrifice and free will of salvation that we receive through his son Jesus, which means you will someday have to stand in front of his throne of judgment all on your own, without the robes of righteousness that we receive from Jesus. And we know what that means when you're standing in front of God with nothing but your sin to cover you. You're going to have to pay the penalty for your sins, the penalty your sins deserve. Jesus's death on the cross is not going to do it for you if you reject him. If you go out of his presence, out of his will. And then Solomon goes on to give reasons for wise living. First, he tells us that good will come to those who obey and honor the king. Okay, that makes sense. In fact, he reminds us from chapter 3 that there is a time and purpose for everything under heaven. But even a wise man can't discern that perfectly, right? I believe Solomon is referring to our sin nature here when he speaks of man's trouble that lies heavy on him. Our greatest problem in life is sin and our inability to do anything about it on our own. But praise be to God that he had a plan, right? When in verse 8, Solomon says, "No man has power to retain the spirit or power over the day of death." He's obviously referring to our powerlessness in the face of life and death. We can't lengthen our days beyond what God allows, nor is it our decision when we die. So we're also not able to avoid the war between us and God without the help of Jesus. And even those of us who have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ will not escape the conflicts that sin creates in this sinful world. So, sorry, I'm just getting over COVID and my throat's very dry. Excuse me. So Solomon ends this passage by describing His indignation over how justice in the world encourages people to choose evil over good sometimes. And that part of man's misery on this earth was to be ruled by others oppressively, right? There were, if you read the Old Testament, there were lots of kings that were not godly. They didn't do the right thing. And they ruled oppressively. So fortunately, no matter who wins the next election, Jesus is still on the throne. We are servants of the King of heaven and earth. Our earthly rulers have no governance over our eternity. It is in Jesus alone we find hope in the things to come and can face life on this earth with confidence. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that teaches us all we need to know in this life to be wise, to follow a wise and perfect ruler, you, our Almighty King and Father. Lord, I pray today that you would be with each of us. Help us to go about our days in a way that stays in your presence, Lord, that follows you and our will for and your will for our lives. Be with us, Lord. You promise. You are Emmanuel. You are God with us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, and help us through the power of your Spirit to follow you, Lord, to stay in you this day and every day. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So God bless you and keep you today as you follow and wisely obey our Most High God, the ultimate King of the world.